Ever since January, when a gaping hole blew open in the middle of an Alaska Airlines flight, it feels like every week I read about a new problem for Boeing and its airplanes.
Well, there's more trouble for Boeing. Months after this door plug blew out mid-flight, the criminal probe into the companies is widening.
The Boeing 777 jetliner makes an emergency landing at LAX after reporting some sort of mechanical issue.
There was a plane that lost a wheel. There was a plane just last week that landed, and then they discovered that a piece of it was missing.
Ian Duncan is a transportation reporter for The Post.
There was, by all accounts, incredibly terrifying dive that a plane took on a flight between Australia and New Zealand. A lot of people were hurt.
Boeing is telling airlines to fly the 787 to check the switches that control the pilot's seats because they could get stuck.
So lots of issues, seemingly disparate, but all tracing back to Boeing.
And while none of these incidents have resulted in a plane actually crashing, they have created a huge crisis of public confidence in Boeing planes.
If you're flying anywhere, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to be on a Boeing plane. And so the whole airline system, the aviation system, relies on Boeing being able to produce safe aircraft every single time and get them in the hands of airlines who can fly them safely.
So what happens if that system appears to be breaking down? From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Tuesday, March 19th. Today, I talk with my colleague Ian about the string of bad news for Boeing and whether people should really be concerned about flying on one of Boeing's planes. So I want to go back and talk about maybe not the beginning of Boeing's problems, but I think a moment that sticks out in a lot of our minds, which is the two crashes that happened a few years back. And that seemed to really begin the kind of PR doom loop for Boeing. So can you talk about those crashes and that moment and why that's important context here?
Yeah, absolutely. These were two crashes in 2018 and 2019. 346 people died. These were pretty much brand new 737 MAX aircraft. And it emerged fairly quickly that there was a common issue with an automated system on these planes that essentially pushed them into a dive that the pilots couldn't recover from. And that system had not been properly understood by the FAA when they were reviewing the design of the planes. And it just became this huge scandal, really, that shook faith in Boeing's ability to design a plane safely and work with its regulator to ensure that it was safe. And really in the FAA's competence to review the designs of these planes and hold a company to the standards that they're supposed to be held to. And so that was a 737 MAX aircraft. They were grounded around the world for almost 2 years while the FAA and Boeing worked on a plan to get them back into the sky. That did happen. Then at the sort of end of 2020, an airline started putting them back into service in 2021. And it sort of, you could look at it and say, okay, they got through those problems. The FAA did eventually step in and do what it needed to do. And Boeing worked to sort of change the design of these planes to make sure that they were safe.
And that was a narrative that I heard, that like they had this come to Jesus moment. They really assessed these problems, they fixed things, and that things were back in order for Boeing.
Right. And I think in some ways it did look like that was the case. It was in the midst of the pandemic where the air travel industry was all shaken up, and so attention was kind of elsewhere and not on Boeing. But then there were some indications in the past 12 months or so that there were problems cropping up in the manufacturing of these planes. And I think that trust in the company was maybe still a little bit lower than it might otherwise have been. And then you get to January and this very dramatic incident on this Alaska flight. And that has just really dealt this blow to a reputation of a company that was already a little bit shaky.
So obviously, the most recent kind of series of concerns about Boeing and the safety of their planes was reignited with this Alaska Air mid-flight fiasco. I know the National Transportation Safety Board, which is responsible for investigating crashes, that they have also been looking into this incident and trying to figure out what exactly went wrong. Do we know, like, what they've been able to conclude, or do they have an early indication of, like, why this panel blew out of this plane mid-flight?
So what we know from the NTSB's preliminary report on this is that there was some work done on this plane while it was going down the production line, and that involved taking this panel off the plane. And it seems as though what happened was it was put back in place, and there were four bolts that are supposed to hold it onto the plane, and there just doesn't seem to be any evidence that they were put back. And so they're still trying to run that down, and Boeing has sort of disclosed recently that they can't find documentation one way or the other of what was done to this, and the NTSB has said they're having a hard time determining who the appropriate witnesses might be to figure out what happened, so that's not a good look.
Yeah,
either.
That doesn't inspire a ton of confidence that they've figured out exactly what went wrong and how to prevent it from happening in the future.
No, and that's where I think the FAA has come in and is looking more broadly at the manufacturing operation it's just outside of Seattle, and is working with Boeing to develop a kind of corrective action plan that will ideally tighten everything up. The FAA has also said that they won't allow Boeing to increase the number of 737s that they produce each month until they're satisfied that all those problems have been taken care of.
I also want to ask more about the incident from last week with the United Airlines flight that detected a missing external panel after one of its planes landed in Oregon. I think the similarities between that and the Alaska Air incident of, you know, this idea of, like, panels missing on the outside of planes, I think that really struck people. What do we know about that? What happened and why this part of the plane was gone?
So I think the big difference here is that that plane landed safely, and this missing piece was only discovered after the plane had landed. We don't know a lot about the circumstances of how that might have happened yet. We do know that it is a much older plane.
So this was not the same type of plane as the Alaska Air incident?
No, it was an older generation of 737.
And then this nosedive on the flight between Australia and New Zealand, that sounded like it was pretty terrifying for passengers on the plane, and that what it was like 50 people experienced injuries because they hit the ceiling of the plane. What happened there? Like, what was the cause of that one?
So really early days in the investigation there, and it's being investigated by the Chilean Aviation Authority because it was a Chilean airline. What we do know is that Boeing issued a advisory to everyone that has one of these 787 planes saying, hey, just a reminder, there is a switch on the back of the pilot seat that can move the seat backwards and forwards. And there is an issue where the kind of top of that switch can come loose and that can cause it to get jammed. And so we don't know if that is linked to the cause, but there is a sort of potential that somehow that switch was pushed and it pushed the pilot into the controls.
Really? Like, the seat just, like, could... I mean, I know that this is early and that we don't know for sure, but that the idea is that maybe that panel was switched and then it just, like, smushed the pilot into the control panel and that caused the plane to nosedive?
Right, absolutely. I mean, I've heard different accounts of the sort of likeliness of that. And so we will just kind of have to, again, wait and see exactly what transpired on the flight deck of that plane.
But I guess my question is, like, is this really a problem of Boeing planes, all different kinds of planes, suddenly having malfunctions or missing parts right now? Or is it just that we are hyper aware of all of this stuff and noticing it more in the wake of some of these headlines and drawing more attention to different kinds of problems that might have been there for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I think you do sort of have to try and hold two things in your head probably at the same time. Like, there is some real problems that Boeing is working through with the FAA. A lot of those tie back to the 737 MAX. And that these other incidents that we've been seeing, they are all obviously very troubling. They're absolutely things that you don't want to see happen. There's not a ton of evidence at this point that they sort of trace back to a common thread. I think what you're seeing is that this is a company that its reputation has taken a real blow. It doesn't have the benefit of the doubt. And so people are kind of primed now that when there is a problem that happens on a Boeing plane, it gets a ton of attention. And that's what you're seeing with all of these incidents that are getting picked up and getting a lot of news coverage.
After the break, I put the question to Ian. Is this really all Boeing's fault? We'll be right back. So, Ian, I also want to understand a little bit more about the role of the FAA here. And that's, of course, the Federal Aviation Administration. But I'm wondering, like, how are we supposed to understand whether or not they are doing their job in terms of making sure that the planes that we're flying are actually safe?
Yeah, I mean, they do have the final say in a lot of cases over safety. One thing that they had started doing after the crashes and that they are still doing is signing off on the safety of each 737 MAX when it comes off the production line. The kind of limit to that is that is this kind of fairly cursory inspection. They do turn up little issues, and we've seen some of the records that show that they do. But these are planes that are like substantially finished, have been flown to a separate facility, not the factory where they're manufactured. And so if there's stuff that's hidden behind some bit of the floor or the wall that they can't see, they're just not going to pick up on stuff like that.
I also want to talk about pretty tragic incident that happened recently. A former employee who had come forward years ago about issues at Boeing, he died by suicide earlier this month. Can you talk a little bit about this whistleblower and how his story kind of fits into this moment for Boeing?
Sure. So this is a man named John Barnett, and he worked at the 787 factory, which is in South Carolina, at the end of his career. And he had raised a problem about something that's known as foreign object debris. So little bits of trash or tools that can be left behind in planes that can pose a risk if they get jammed in some moving part or something like that. It's a problem. It's something that the aviation industry takes very seriously. It's not super uncommon either. And the FAA did substantiate some of his concerns and ordered Boeing to clean up those planes before they were sent out to customers. But he since left Boeing in 2017 and said that he felt essentially that he had been forced out earlier than he otherwise would have wanted to leave because he had raised these problems and he had been pursuing a case to kind of try and prove that that was what had happened to him. And so his death, I think, really, I mean, it came in the midst of all this other news. It's a very sort of dramatic and tragic human story. And I think it was also just a reminder that there are people inside the company going back quite a long time, you know, nearly a decade, who have been raising concerns about just things being overlooked or not done as they ought to be done, and that this isn't just something that goes back a few months.
And I want to acknowledge, I mean, I feel like I've seen conspiracy theories since his death of like, oh, you know, this was someone who spoke out against Boeing and now he's died and like maybe something suspicious happened here. But to be clear, like there's no evidence to suggest that that's the case.
No, there is no evidence of that.
Let's talk a little bit about like the state of the American aviation system at this moment, because I think a lot of people look at these problems and it's causing them to question like a pretty central assumption, which is that it is safe to fly in the U.S. and that, in fact, like the U.S. aviation system is kind of the gold standard. It's safer to fly here than anywhere else in the world, a lot of people would argue, or at least has been the case historically. Has that started to change? Like, are we not really that safe by international standards anymore when you look at some of these incidents?
I mean, I think We are. I think that the safety record of the airlines in this country for the past really decade and a half has been exceptional. I think people don't remember now that airline crashes used to be somewhat regular occurrence. And
like in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, and even up to more recently. And so that reputation and that record is still intact. I think there have been some warning signs since the pandemic that the system is under strain. There was a lot of turnover in the industry at sort of every level. So, you know, less experienced workers potentially. And there are people inside the industry who are sort of taking that seriously and trying to address it, because there's sort of two things that are true, that one, the track record is really, really good, but two, everyone I think recognizes that you can't take that for granted and that you can't slip for a moment because the consequences would be really great. And so you do see a lot of attention when things go wrong. The FAA has been really active. It's been very visible, I think, the last few months. And that is a sign that people in the industry know that they have to do everything that they can to maintain that safety.
I also wonder if this is partly a competition problem. I think a lot of people might know, but essentially, if you're flying on a plane, on a commercial flight in the U.S., that you are either flying a Boeing plane or an Airbus plane. And the fact that you have this, I guess it's a duopoly of these two major airline manufacturers that basically are responsible for almost all the commercial flights in the world, I guess, does that play a role in, like, not having the competition that might otherwise force a company like Boeing to up its game in terms of safety and making sure that more of these checks are in place?
That's a tricky one because, I mean, some of the criticism that Boeing got after the 737 MAX crashes was that the competition with Airbus was so intense that they had really rushed to put this new 737 design sort of into service because they didn't want to fall behind.
Oh, interesting.
Airbus.
So it's like the competition was the problem, is the argument here.
That's one way of looking at it. But then the other way of thinking about it is that Boeing was so important to the system and to the economy that it was hard for the FAA to hold them accountable. And that is potentially why you see some of the problems with the FAA not fully understanding the risks of that design. And so it kind of cuts both ways, I think, potentially. I don't think that's an easy one to kind of draw a firm conclusion about.
I think a lot of people are seeing these headlines, worried about Boeing and thinking, look, I don't know if I feel comfortable flying on a Boeing plane right now. And the fact that we have a lot more information as travelers that, you know, when we are booking a flight, we can see what kind of plane we are booking the flight on. Do you have advice on, like, how people should be thinking about these mishaps and incidents and worst case scenarios in making decisions about their own travels?
I think whenever I try to answer this kind of question, I guess I do always point back to the incredible safety record that we've had. Are there things that are troubling? I think, yes, there are, but I don't think that they're necessarily more serious than anything that we have seen over the past few years. I think in some ways, the system is kind of working to try and correct and ensure that everything is held up to the absolute highest standards when it comes to safety. And so, you know, people obviously have got to make the decision. They've got to feel comfortable. They've got to feel confident when they get on the plane. But I don't think I look at this and think there is a huge kind of warning light that is flashing to say that there is particularly more danger right now than there has been in the past.
I noticed that, like, conversation about this Boeing stuff keeps coming up with, like, people in my life. This is just a thing that people talk about at parties and the gym and stuff, is what's going on with Boeing? Like, these things keep happening. Like, why do you think people like talking about how dangerous planes are or why they become so obsessed with these kinds of headlines?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I mean, I often think about the difference in safety between air travel and car travel, right? So, you know, more than 40,000 people a year die in car crashes in this country. And it's pretty clear that driving has become quite a bit more dangerous in the past few years. There was a big spike in fatalities in the pandemic. And that, it got some attention and it was reported on. But I think there's something about flying where people don't feel like they're in control of what is happening. It's kind of an unusual situation for most people. People don't fly super commonly, but you're behind the wheel of a car or you're riding as a passenger in the car, you know, probably every day. And so there is just something where there's a bit more scope maybe for people's fears to kind of play, even though objectively we know that air travel is really quite safe. And so I think that is what you're sort of seeing reflected here, that as the trust has kind of eroded a little bit in Boeing and potentially in the FAA and the airlines too, that there is just a sort of a space that has opened up for people's worries to fill in.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for being here and for explaining all this.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That was Ian Duncan, and he is a transportation reporter for The Post. Before we go, we've got one more story that you might be interested to hear. An award given in the name of the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been abruptly canceled. That is because Ginsburg's family, among others, objected that this year's slate of recipients do not reflect her values. The prize was supposed to be awarded by the Dwight D. Opperman Foundation. Last week, they announced that they would be giving it to five individuals: Martha Stewart, Rupert Murdoch, financier Michael Milken, Sylvester Stallone, and Elon Musk. Critics couldn't help but observe that these, quote, five iconic individuals, as the award news release described them, included among them convicted felons and conservative billionaires who own right-wing media enterprises. In a statement released on Monday, the chairperson of the foundation addressed the criticism that erupted after the announcement. She said that the foundation will, quote, reconsider its mission and make a judgment about how or whether to proceed in the future. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's son, Jim Ginsburg, told our colleagues at The Post that he is relieved that the awards will not proceed. That is it for Post Reports. Thank you so much for listening. Today's show was produced by Emma Talkoff. It was mixed by Sean Carter and edited by Ted Muldoon. Thank you also to Renny Svernovsky and Sundia Somashekar. If you are looking for the latest updates on the biggest news of the day, check out our morning news briefing, The 7. We bring you through the 7 stories that you need to know about every weekday morning by 7 a.m. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.